You are listening to the Great to Talk podcast by the Great Western Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust. In this week's episode, we're hearing about the important work of our staff networks and how they shape the way we care for our patients.
I'm Kayleigh Payne. I am a Workforce Intelligence Systems Specialist at Great Western Hospital, and I am the Vice Chair for the Differently Abled Network. The Differently Abled Network is a network for employees at the Great Western Hospital to come together and look at ways that our organisation can support both employees and patients across the organisation who may have a disability or a long-term condition or illness. So the Differently Abled Network is a forum of staff who opt into this group. You don't have to have a disability or a long-term condition, but have an invested interest in supporting those that do, to be able to support them from an EDI perspective to ensure that they're getting an equal, fair opportunity within the organisation to be successful in their careers. And we also link in with the patient experience element.
My name is Sharon Womer. I'm the Quality, Diversity and Inclusion Lead at Great Western Hospital. I have the honour of supporting staff to understand how they can make a difference in terms of the access, experience and outcomes of our workforce and patients. So that simply means I help, I hold a mirror up to our colleagues to help them to see how they can behave differently, how they can impact policy. We have a network that represents disabled colleagues, that's the Differently Abled Network. We have the BAME Network, Black, Asian, Minority, Ethnic. We've just recently launched a women's network that will be representing the interests of women, and the LGBT Network. So the networks lead or determine their own initiatives. So it could be anything from running training, putting on events, they invite guest speakers, and the day-to-day general work of network is to bring their membership together to explore issues that they face in common.
A bit of background on why I joined is that my 9-year-old daughter Darcy is autistic, and we found out quite late on around her diagnosis, and from that we have found out lots. Neurodiversity is a big minefield and there's lots of elements to it, and having worked for the NHS for a long time and having lots of relatives and family that work for the NHS, I really wanted to give Darcy the best opportunity in life to have a successful career and know that she is competent and included and capable. And for me, change starts with the younger generations. So by doing what I can to support the younger generation in my organisation, I know that I'm giving her the best opportunity to promote our hospital as a place to come and work.
I became interested in equality, diversity, and inclusion because of my personal experience. I'd experienced discrimination, challenges getting promoted. I'd kind of been around that cycle, and not just in the NHS, across perhaps decades at this point of trying to get ahead. And I felt the barriers were the same everywhere. And I thought that I could make a difference if I kind of joined the fight. I didn't want to sit on the sidelines anymore and sort of watch things go by. And I think now that I don't have children, I have godchildren, and one of them is entering the NHS. And, you know, I have my mom's stories that have been passed down to me, and my own stories have joined her voice, and I want my godchild to have a different experience. So I thought, well, you know, if I don't sort of step in and try to make a difference, then we won't see it happen.
I'm not an expert in autism, but I kind of am. You know, it's part of my day-to-day life with my daughter. So I know her nuances, and I know her little, we call them quirks, and things like that around how she works best. We've done a lot of work with her school on how she best learns. And actually, when you're in employment in a job, your learning. So you're in a similar scenario. So for me, being able to put those same sort of support measures in place in an organisation is only going to help continue her to thrive if she was to come and work for the NHS here. So sometimes there are times when you feel very deflated and you feel like giving up. But for me, she's my sort of motivation to keep going and go, do you know what? When I've seen her have a bad day, where I've seen that she has not got the right support in place wherever she is, that spurs me on to go, do you know, this needs to be better. We need to be better at this. We shouldn't be like this. Society this day should be different in terms of inclusivity and that equality piece. So yeah, she's been my driving force massively with it. I've also got my mum, who has had mental health problems since I was a baby, plus she's profoundly deaf. So there's that side of things as well that's helped me, because it gives you a bit more of an open mind. The hearing loss side of things, of living in that experience of what that's like for her and the challenges she has faced from a patient experience perspective, I can kind of combine those two experiences together to help me have ideas and spur on other colleagues and hopefully inspire them to have the same motivation to make things better.
I remember I'd joke with one of my colleagues on the network, and I'd say, oh, you know, we're doing this for the next generation. And over the lockdown, my co-chair at the time passed away, and it really brought it home to me that, wow, it might really be for the next generation. There's a sense of urgency that I need to apply to this work now, and don't take it for granted that, you know, in 5 years' time I'll be here, or 10 years' time. If I really want to see change in my lifetime, then now's the time. They make a huge difference by bringing the voice of people with lived experience to the table. So it's easy. I always say that intent versus impact is very different. So we might, or intention might be to set up a service that's accessible or that doesn't discriminate or doesn't make people feel unwelcome. But just without a particular lens, we won't know or always know the full breadth of things that might become a barrier to people. So having that lived experience voice at the table can help to highlight things that we might miss.
We have also done some work around clear masks. So that's more from a patient experience perspective, but actually there's going to be staff that will also benefit from those things as well. So we are now in the position to offer clear masks to patients, for staff to use with patients who may need to lip read, who have got hearing loss.
Having staff networks and staff in general feel it, having a sense of feeling included benefits the patients. We know that a happy workforce, an included workforce, a workforce that experiences health and well-being has a positive effect on patient experience. So it has a knock-on effect. If we have if we ensure that our networks are active and making a difference, and our workforce can feed into that, then we're more likely to treat our patients better. We're more likely to develop services that are more impactful for our patients.
It can be quite a stressful job at times. So having this where you do feel sometimes you can make a difference, where you may not necessarily feel it as much sometimes in your day to day, is very rewarding.
That was Sharon and Kaylee explaining more about the work of our staff networks. You can find out more about our LGBTQ+, BAME, Differently Abled and Women's Network by heading to the Equality, Diversity and Inclusion page of gwh.nhs.uk. More episodes of Great to Talk are available wherever you find your podcasts, and click subscribe to automatically download future episodes.